Hey, folks, thank you for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. In addition to the new Cafe Insider podcast, we're sharing bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm sorry I'm not in New York today, although I'm very happy that I'm in Colorado.
It's very hot here today.
Is it? Oh, it's beautiful it is. Here.
My parents were born in India also. Not great for my political career either, but I trust that when you're president, you will make it a top priority to amend the Constitution in that regard.
The Preet Amendment.
The Preet Amendment. Or, you know, the Schwarzenegger Amendment.
Right, exactly.
Or the Jennifer Granholm Amendment. There's all sorts of folks.
All kinds of good people.
One of your competitors for the nomination, Joe Biden, has said a couple of things, like, I expect to work in a bipartisan way. There are lots of good Republicans. And some folks on the left went a little bananas over that. Is there anything wrong with what Joe Biden said?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there are lots of good Republicans. I live in a state that's a third Democratic, a third Independent, and a third Republican. The lion's share of Republicans in my state do not subscribe to the views of the Freedom Caucus. And they don't really subscribe to the views of Donald Trump. That's another issue that we can talk about. But where Joe Biden is wrong is that he has said that if we could just get Donald Trump out of there, everything would go back to normal. Well, normal for the last 6 years of the Obama administration was not passing anything through the Congress because Congress wouldn't pass anything. And we have to do better than that. If we're going to address climate, we got to do better than that. If we're going to get to universal health care, we have to do better than that. We cannot accept, as some people do, we cannot accept Mitch McConnell's degraded version of democracy where there's just a one-word ratchet down, you know, where we're smashing our institutions into smithereens to loot it, in his case, for judges and tax cuts for wealthy people. We have to have more imagination than that. And I think what that means is it's not about forging bipartisan relationships in Washington, although where you can do that, it's important to do that. But it's also important to be not naive about the structural issues related to Citizens United, the Supreme Court jurisprudence now when it comes to voting rights cases, the jurisprudence when it comes to partisan gerrymandering in our country. These are fundamental structural issues that have led the Republican Party nationally into a place where they are unwilling for the moment to work with Democrats. And I think the answer to this is we need an outside game where we're trying to unite the American people against a politics in D.C. that does not serve the interests of their kids and their grandkids. And by the way, I don't think this is about just one presidential election. I really believe this is going to take every single election between now and when I expire for us to do the work that we're meant to do in this democracy.
I agree with all of that, and also keep thinking about how people are underestimating the importance of the Senate.
There is a basis, I believe, to create a consensus, a set of policy issues that on infrastructure, on our fiscal condition, on K-12 and higher education, on climate, that you could get to 70% of Democrats, Independents, and Republicans in a state like Colorado, and I would probably argue in the United States of America. What goes terribly wrong is what goes on in Washington when you get to our national government, and there, because of a variety of factors, including Citizens United and the Koch brothers' influence and the Heritage Foundation and all this kind of stuff, you've got a bulwark there against progress. But I want to make another point here, if it's okay, Preet. I mentioned earlier the work that I'd been doing, I didn't mention this, with Sherrod Brown on the American Family Act, that bill that dramatically increases the child tax credit. That's called Bennett-Brown. Brown-Bennett, which is another bill, dramatically increases the earned income tax credit. These are two things taken together that would make a massive difference for the middle class in this country and for people that are working but still living in poverty. I would argue it would make more of a difference than raising the minimum wage. But if you could do those things together, raise the minimum wage, increase the earned income tax credit, increase the child tax credit, have paid family leave in America like we do in so many other countries in the world, that begins to look like some really serious fundamental building blocks for restoring an American middle class and giving people in poverty the chance to escape poverty. Right now, if I had to summarize the last 10 years of my town halls to you, it would be to tell you that the people that come there say, Michael, no matter how hard we work, and we are working really hard, we cannot afford some combination of housing, healthcare, higher education, or early childhood education. And the people that aren't coming to my town halls that are working two and three jobs and they don't have time to come. And by the way, they also don't have time to engage with politicians on social media. But they are the parents in my old school district, immigrant families like you described, would say to me if they did come, no matter how hard we work, and we are working incredibly hard, we cannot get our kids out of poverty. That's fundamentally where we are as an economy right now, and that's what we've got to address.
You mentioned a few times now your time as superintendent of the Denver schools. I think you've described it as perhaps the most meaningful job you've had. If you had a choice of spending money from the federal government on forgiving student debt for folks who've gone to college versus spending money on things like pre-K and earlier life education, how do you
It's not even close. I mean, it is the investment in pre-K pays off much greater dividends than free college or the loan extinguishment that Bernie has proposed, which, by the way, is a regressive proposal to begin with. It's an amazing thing coming from Bernie, but you know, it is not progressive as paying for preschool is. And I don't want to be unsympathetic here because people are facing a student loan crisis through no fault of their own. It's because we have not invested in people the way we used to. We taxpayers used to pay for public higher education. We no longer do. And we have to do things to alleviate the burden that people are carrying around with them. And I've proposed some things on that. But if given the choice, my choice would be every day preschool versus free college. And it would be contending with the fact that 70% of the kids in America that graduate from high school don't go on to college. And today, that 70% can only get a minimum wage in this country. There's no reason that has to be a fact. If we invested in that 70%, and what we said to ourselves was, the result of this investment is going to be these Americans are going to be able to earn a living wage the day they graduate from high school, not the minimum wage, we would transform the lives of millions of people in this country, and we would transform the American economy just by doing that. And that's a place where we actually have really low-hanging fruit because we are not doing in high school what the 21st century requires us to do, and we are not doing in our community college system what the 21st century requires us to do. And if we change that, we could create enormous economic momentum in this country. And I think that also would be much more progressive than the other policies that you suggested.
I'm sorry, Senator. I hear someone clicking. Yeah, is that okay?
It might have been me. I'm sorry.
No, that's you're a multitasker. That's an important quality for someone who wants to be president of the United States. If you could make
it. By the way, I'm just looking at one of these images in the book, and it's one of the ones that always leaps out at me, which is the one of NASCAR Jesus, which is an image of Jesus Christ in front of a NASCAR sign holding in one hand an assault weapon, and in the other hand, a can of Mountain Dew. That was brought to us by the Russians.
Was it regular Mountain Dew or diet?
I think it's regular.
Yeah, of course.
What self-respecting person would have a diet Mountain Dew?
I would expect no less for NASCAR Jesus. That was terrific. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Preet.
Thanks again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Monday with me and Ann Milgram, and stay tuned every Thursday.